Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. Continuing here on the husbands, and we're dealing with the husband needs to meet the needs of his wife and looking at what that entails in Scripture. Ephesians 5:25 is a verse we left off last week. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And that's a tall order to follow, is Jesus Christ being our example. And all the things that we cover as far as a husband meeting the needs of his wife, you know, the Bible tells us that God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches. Amen. So he supplies all of our needs. And husband, that's who we have to look to, and that's our example. And we ought to be meeting the needs of our wife and of our family. And we looked at last week in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that someone that does not take care of their home, the Bible says he's worse than an infidel and denies the faith. And those are some pretty harsh things. But if we try to strive to be like Christ, which we're supposed to, none of us is perfect. Amen. And the wives need to realize their husband is not Christ. But he needs to try. She needs to know that he's trying. A godly husband is going to forfeit the things that he wants and the hobbies that he enjoys in order to take care of the needs of his family. If his family is in need of something and they have something they need, then he shouldn't blow the money and time on a hobby if it's something that they need. Amen. And there's a lot of people that do that. In the secular lost world, there's a lot of mothers sitting there with their children and they need food, but he has drank the money away from his paycheck. And her needs are not getting met. And there's a lot of scenarios where there's drugs or alcohol or whatever the case might be. You say, well, that's awful. Well, it's just as awful if you're saved and you're a Christian man and you're blowing the funds and time and resources on something for yourself and not taking care of your family's needs. Amen? And so we got to take care of the needs of our spouse. We see this principle here. We talked about this last week, of trying to live up to Christ loving the church, and he gave himself for it. The headship of the home must be disciplined. It must be able to provide for the needs of his wife and his family. And there's a lot of people, especially today, just talking to a man at a hospital, went to visit in Winfield. And we were talking about how parents are raising their boys today. They have no manners. They have no work ethic. And they wouldn't know how to treat a lady or treat a wife to save their life. That's the generation that we have now. And it's very sad. And the only way Christian young ladies are going to have a Christian young man to marry is if both parties are raising their children right. Amen? And it's important. It's important to align ourselves and with the Word of God, and then other churches that align themselves with the Word of God, and you meet other people. And God, I know sometimes boys and girls think, well, they'll never, ever get married, and we only got two in here right now, and that might be a thought. But I'm telling you, God will send somebody your way who's right for you, who's right with the book, if you'll trust him. So, well, I don't see it. I'm telling you, he will. They'll believe right, they'll dress right, they'll act right, he'll do it. Amen. But you have to go to youth rally. You got to go to youth camps. And you got to, I mean, you might be meeting somebody. God's got somebody waiting for you. Amen. Once we align ourselves with people of like faith. I've already got somebody picked out for Elijah. She lives in Canada. It's a long way to go. There's a young man in Canada also lined up for Ella. Well, I know their parents are raising them right. I'm joking about that. Who knows? I'm praying. Abraham found a wife for Isaac. Amen. I won't stay on that too long there. But I know there's two families that are raising their kids. She's looking at me. I forgot she was in here. Amen, Ella. I'm praying for your future husband. But I think it's something parents should pray about. The Lord doesn't tarry. That day's going to come. I don't want it to ever come. But it's going to come one day. And I know they're raising them right and teaching them right. And so, you know, we got to pray for. But husband, we are the head. We are the leadership. We are the Lord of our home, and we have to love and provide for their needs. And we got two young men in here, so it gets kind of pointed and straight when there's only two of you, but don't get married until you're prepared to meet the needs of your wife and your home. Amen? You say, what does that mean? It can mean all kinds of things, but make sure you're ready. Make sure you are ready to provide for her needs, which means not living in her parents' basement. Amen? Make sure you're ready to take care of her. The husband-wife relationship is not a master-servant relationship. And there's some people that don't understand that either. Amen? Yeah. It's not a master-servant relationship. A husband is to minister to his family's needs. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter number 20. Husband and wife relationship is not a master-servant relationship. The husband is supposed to minister to his family's needs. Do you realize if Jesus Christ was here in body, I know he's here spiritually because he's living in me. I brought him to church. Amen. If you're saved, you brought him in here with you. But if he was physically in this room tonight, what would he be doing? He would be serving us. Wouldn't it be humbling to think if Jesus started washing your feet, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Savior, the Redeemer, if he came in here and started washing your feet? Everywhere he went in the Bible, what was he doing? He was helping and he was serving. And he is our example, husbands. And he ministered to the needs of the people he was around. Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse number 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ is our example, and he came to minister to his church. And husbands, we ought to minister to the needs of our wife. There's some husbands that they believe their wife was created to serve them and to be their maid and their servant and those things. And that's not the right attitude to have. Amen. According to the verse here, the husband is to minister and labor for his wife and for his family. He is the authority. He is the one in charge. That is correct. And she needs to give him that respect. But he's there to meet her needs. God brought them together for a reason. And he needs to be able to meet the needs of his family. And he needs to be a blessing and not a curse to his wife and his children and his family. Let me ask you this question tonight, and I keep reiterating it because Jesus Christ is our example, but how does he treat us? Amen. Does he treat us like dirt? No. He treats me way better, brother, way better than I deserve. And he treats us good. And husbands, that's our example. This is something to think about. This goes in the workplace. It also goes in a family, a home, a church. How you treat the people that are under your authority. And by the way, that is God-ordained authority that God placed in a church, in a home, in a workplace. The Bible has a lot to say about the master-servant relationship in the workplace. And he gives those instructions, but how you treat those under your authority will greatly affect your relationship with those that are under your authority. If you're in the workplace and you have a boss that never listens to you, he never gives you the time of day, He talks down to you every time he talks to you. And I know of illustrations of all these things. And he does all those things. That relationship is not going to be great. Am I right? The relationship's not going to be good at all. They're going to run him down every chance they get to everybody around them because they can't stand him. They don't want to talk to him. They don't want to be around him. And that's the same thing in a husband-wife relationship. How you treat the person and the people that are under your authority, and they're supposed to be there. They're where God wants them to be, regardless of how they react to it. How you treat them, the people under your authority, will affect your relationship with them. And you can do it scripturally and biblically and try to, as Christ does for his church, and love them. The Bible says that God loves those who he chastens. And he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But he does it lovingly, and we know that he loves us. When we discipline our children, and we're going to get to that later on in all this teaching, when we discipline our children, they need to know that what is being done is for their benefit. They don't understand it then. They need to know it's for their benefit. And I remember my dad used to always say to my mom, I'm doing this because I what? Because I love you. Would you love me a little less? That one hurt. But later on, now I understand, and I can stand up here and say, I thank God for every discipline I ever got. Amen? Because I know they loved me. There's children that grow up and they're never disciplined. They're never told no. They grow up and they hate their parents. They despise their parents because the way they turned out, and they blame their parents. And that is a shame. And how you treat those under authority in you that are in your home or in your workplace or the church or however the case might be, that's going to affect your relationship with them. So if you want a strenuous relationship in the home, then treat them bad. Amen. How a husband treats his wife and his family will affect his relationship with God. If it's not biblical and it's not scriptural, then it's going to affect your relationship with God. And there's even a verse, I don't have it. Well, yeah, here, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is one that we've gone to multiple times in this study. We're still dealing with the husband. Y'all realize that the average Christian home, the average Christian home is so far away from this Bible, it's not even funny. And I'm using Christian because that's what they call themselves. But the average Christian home is so far away from the Word of God, the order is all out of place. And I'm not just talking about the heathen, the lost people. A Christian home, the order is out of place. The children run the home. The children decide where they eat, what they do, when they go to bed. And the father has no authority in the home if he tries to exercise his God-given authority in the home towards his wife or children. He's rebuked by his wife. This is in the average church. And it's all out of line, and they wonder why it's chaos and why God can't bless it. If everybody falls into place in the authority and the order of the home, they will have a blessed, happy home. The world standards are extremely low, and they've attacked the home. Just about every single sitcom on television, I don't watch any of that garbage, but almost every sitcom on the television is making fun of the home, making fun of the order of the home, making fun of marriage, attacking the authority of the home. And it's against this book. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse number 7. Again, this is a verse we've gone to quite a bit. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If you do not meet the needs of your wife, it will and can affect your prayer life. And that's something I don't want. I don't want my prayers being hindered. Amen. There's several things that can do it, and this is one of them right here. But it tells us here to dwell with them according to knowledge. What kind of knowledge do you think that is? Well, number one, it's biblical knowledge. Amen? Dwelt them according to the Bible, Bible knowledge. God, Brother Brian's teaching through Proverbs, that's all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And if you get a grasp of some of that stuff, it'll help your marriage. The book of Proverbs, it'll help your marriage. The Bible says here to give, here in the verse again, likewise, ye husbands, dwell them according to knowledge. And now he's going to tell you what a part of what he's talking about here, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker. She is the weaker vessel. I didn't call her that. The Bible did. But she is the weaker vessel, and you're supposed to give honor to that. What does that mean? That means you be respectful to her needs. That means you be courteous in regard to her. She's the weaker vessel, and God puts you there to meet her needs, to take care of her. Because, as the Bible said, you know, she is the weaker vessel, and you have that responsibility. So you give honor to her, and you hold her in high regard and respect. Hold your place there in 1 Peter chapter 3. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 6. He said, why should we do what 1 Peter 3:7 is telling us to do? You know why? Because you're one flesh. She's a part of you. She's the weaker vessel, part of you. All right? That doesn't mean she's any less of a person. Amen. The Bible says she's the weaker vessel. It tells us why. All right? Matthew 19:6, wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Say, why? Because they have become one flesh, and you give honor to that weaker vessel. How you treat her, and the Bible also talks about this, I believe, where is it, over in Colossians, that you ought to treat her better than you do yourself. Why? She's a part of you. When you got married, you became one flesh. All right, go back over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 also adds at the end here, Peter does, about the prayers being hindered. So if you do not obey God in this matter, your prayers will be hindered and potentially not answered. And you know what a scary feeling would be? Is having to wake up at 3:30 in the morning and you need to get a hold of God and you can't get a hold of him because you're not right with your wife. Amen? Bible says your prayers might be hindered. It's a very, very scary thought. You don't have to turn there, but I'm gonna read a verse to you that ought to be a warning to us when it comes to all these things in the Bible and scriptures and us obeying the Lord, that we ought to take a lot of caution in the way that we handle some things and the way that we do some things. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 through 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's a scary thing. 1 Peter 3:7 talks about our relationship with our wife can be one of those things that hinder our prayer where he will not hear. And he wants to hear. He wants to help. He wants to save. He wants to be there. But you can do things, make decisions that'll cause separation there. And I don't know about you, but that's something I don't want. Back in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, the previous verse is, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Sarah recognized the lordship in the home. She recognized Abram as the Lord of the home, as the lordship, the position that he was in. And it says there in that verse, at the end of it, and are not afraid with any amazement. He said, well, why would it say that? A wife should not have to live afraid. And that is based off of how the husband handles. We talked way back about the insecurities in a home and a wife, and the husband is responsible for trying to make sure he protects his home and protects her from fear. And a wife should not fear what her husband is going to ask or tell her to do. And Sarah didn't. She respected Abraham. You realize that Abraham asked Sarah to tell a white lie, which is still a lie. Abraham asked his wife to do wrong, and she obeyed him and did it. And guess what? God blessed her and protected her because of it. That happened twice, did it not? Two different times. And she respected his authority in that home, and she did not fear because she obeyed and recognized Abraham as being the lordship in the home. And a wife should not be afraid of her husband and what he expects and what needs to be done or any kind of problems that he may give her. She shouldn't have to live in fear. Now, if he's a godly, spiritual man and he's trying to do right and live right and she's living wickedly, she's going to fear. But she needs to fear God, amen? She needs to be afraid of that. A wife needs to be treated right and not be feared. You know, a wife needs to be treated like a lady. We talked about companionship and treating your spouse. And if a lot of men treated their friends like they do their wives, they wouldn't have a lot of friends. Amen. Their friends wouldn't put up with it. But there's some ladies that they feel like they have to, and they need. All right, turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. I'm going to wrap up. Numbers chapter 14. Talking about meeting the needs for a wife and family. And I just got this one last thing and then a kind of conclusion to this part. If a man does not take care of the needs of his wife and children, then he runs the risk of passing that attitude of neglect and irresponsibility onto his children. He runs that chance of doing that. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. Now I say amen to that. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. And by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Parents that are raising their children not according to scriptures are running the risk of ruining three or four or five generations down the road. Amen? That's a dangerous thing. If a man will not take care of his family, he's training his children, his boys, on how to do that, how to not treat his wife or how to not take care of the needs, provide for his family. I've heard this said before, and it seems to be true, that if a young man wants to know how his wife will treat him, she needs to look at how she treats her father. Does she respect him when nobody's looking? Does she honor his wishes? Because she's under him until she gets married. Does he give honor to him? Does he respect him? Is she polite to him? And if she is, then more than likely she'll be that towards you. But if she's disrespectful, if she's running around behind their back or behind whatever authority, it might be a grandfather or whoever God's put in her life as the authority, and she's disrespectful, she doesn't obey them, she goes behind their back, she talks about them, you can mark it down, it's probably going to happen to you. The same way with a young lady with her dad, the same way with a young man with his mother. They said, just watch the way he treats her. Does he treat her with respect? Does he try to meet her needs? I mean, if he's an older teenage boy, does he try to take care of her? Does he respect his mother? And a lot of times you can go back and you'll see how that marriage is going to turn out. This attitude of not meeting the needs of a family, that's rebellion against God. It's rebellion against this word. And many times this attitude of not taking care of the family and not meeting the needs is because of laziness. You know, there's people that are grown adults, like they have driver's license, they're allowed to vote, that stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning playing video games. And they won't go in the bedroom with their wife. Amen. They won't take care of their family. They're up playing video games all night. They're late to work or they're lay out. These are grown people that have children and doing these things. And that's a lazy attitude. It's a sorry attitude. Being a godly father and a godly husband, a biblical father, it takes work. It takes sacrifice. It takes doing whatever it takes to take care of your family, to try to please the Lord, but God will bless it. Let me give you these last things here real quick. Two extremes in fatherhood or being a husband. There's two extremes. On one hand, you have the husband who refuses to do anything. He refuses all responsibility. Now, again, you might delegate responsibility to your wife when it comes to certain things. Like when you're not home, you delegate authority to her to discipline the children. It's still your responsibility to make sure it's getting done. But you delegate that authority to her. You might delegate the checkbook to her because you can't do it or you don't want her, or whatever the case might be. Or she might do a better job, but you're still responsible for it. So understand that. But the one extreme is the husband who refuses his responsibility and he just doesn't care and he pushes it all off on her. You take care of the checkbook. You pay the bills. You call the debt collector. You discipline the kids. Sitting in your lazy boy all kicked back with a lemonade in your hand, the kid's acting up, and you say, hey, go in there and take care of that kid. That's the one extreme. They just neglect all responsibility. They have an attitude of, I've worked all day, and I'm not doing nothing when I get home. And their yard looks like it, too. Last time they mowed, they found a car they didn't know they had. If a man has that attitude, he's asking for trouble in the home, trouble in his marriage. And then you have the other extreme, and that's the one that is so controlling and who's always throwing his weight around and his headship around and telling everybody who he is and what kind of boss he is and got his chest poked out. And he's always verbally and maybe even physically abusing his wife and children because he can. Those are two extremes, and both of those homes are unhappy. There's not peace in those homes. I'm thankful that God doesn't do that to us on either extreme. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. He's there with us. He's helping us. At the same time, he loves us and he cares for us, even when we mess up. Both of those situations, both those extremes are recipes for disaster. A husband must take responsibility of his home to meet the needs of his wife and family. And he might delegate some responsibility to his wife, but if he does, he's going to equip her and help her to be able to do that. If you want her to pay all the bills and take care of it, make sure she's got the funds to pay the bills. Amen? Don't let her stress over that. Delegating the authority, that's not a problem when it comes to disciplining the kids, when it comes to those things, but make sure you still take the responsibility for that home. Amen? Meet the needs of your wife and your family and your kids. All right, I'm going to stop there. Let's all stand. Next week we'll have family revival, so continuing family on Wednesday night, and then we'll pick this back up in a few weeks. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. God, we thank you for being a great God and a great Savior to us, Lord. We thank you for your precious word. And Father, we pray, God, that you'd forgive us where we failed you in this area of the home. And Lord, I pray for us as men, God, and me as a father and a husband, that God, if there's been anything I've done, Lord, that has hindered your work, God, or not been pleasing to you, and Father, you forgive us for it, Lord, and help us to understand it and help us to do better. And Father, we want to please you in all that we do. And here at this church, God, we want to please you in all that we do. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us as husbands, as men, to be the leaders of the home that we ought to be, Father. And God, that we would love like we're supposed to and lead like we're supposed to. And Father, that you would just please give us that strength and the wisdom to do it. And Father, thank you again for all you do for us. Please bless the cleaning tonight. And we'll give you the praise and honor for all that you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen.